I'm back.
Back from the dead.
That's true. I about died, and so...
And I think you're going to die right now. It sounds like you're coughing up a lung.
I'm still coughing. I've lost a little weight, a little blood, but I'm still alive.
But you were resurrected just like Wichita State, my friend.
How about that, Keegan? Not only are they in the NIT... Well, that's what you said.
Listen to this guy. He's stumbling out of the gate.
I'm way too loud, too. I'm all excited.
I know.
And you're
hard to think when
you're
we
wrong.
Started
the
NIT,
show. It's not going to happen.
You're afraid of the microphone. You're a long way from it. Look at you now. You're grabbing onto it with both hands. You got to turn yourself down.
I was talking about Northern Iowa won't be in the tournament. Yeah, sure. I meant to say Northern Iowa, just like I meant to say that Texas would beat KU.
I recall, Tom Keegan, DJ Winter, your predictions. Let's go over this again.
Difference is, I was kidding and DJ was serious.
We're going to have to re-rack that, Andy Sam, because I don't remember anybody kidding when we were on the show.
Tom's the veteran of 30 years, so he can say stuff like that. I was just
like, anybody's
going
to believe it.
DJ's and I did. The new guy, so always serious.
I did take Texas, but I'm not going to lie. I didn't think it was going to be 80-55.
You had to put a 2 in front of your prediction.
I didn't think you would.
Five.
I didn't think UT was going to manhandle KU the way it did. Certainly a surprise.
Yeah, they hammered him on the boards for one thing, and KU gave him too many open three-point shots for another. And once the crowd gets into it, the crowd was awesome. I heard about what a horrible basketball crowd it is. It was outstanding, other than the cheesy promotions during timeouts.
What did they do, by the way, down there? I heard that was terrible.
Yeah, this guy with a gigantic mullet sang at halftime, playing guitar.
Sweet.
Eyes of Texas or something like that.
Well, who was it?
I don't know the name. I forget his name. He's probably famous in some parts, but he was brutal. And
were the fans cheering this?
The UT band played with it, yeah. But the worst thing was then every time out there was some – he looked like maybe a student with a cap on backwards, just leading him in these cheesy promotions that really you don't see at a legitimate college basketball atmosphere. But other than that, the fans, the students were great. They were loud. They had a legitimate – home court advantage, big time.
How many Vince Young jerseys did you see?
I didn't see any of those.
What?
We saw one.
We saw like three on TV.
Yeah, at least one or two, yeah.
You weren't looking very hard.
I saw a lot of students in just the same UT jerseys with the Nike swoosh, I think it was.
Football jerseys?
No, just T-shirts. Jerseys. Probably the basketball T-shirts they pass out.
All right. Enough of that. What were we talking about? The blowout. What was the big difference maker in this game? Why was Kansas unable to compete like we've seen the Jayhawks compete so far this year?
Well, they got, for one thing, they got completely smoked on the boards.
Smoked. 36-19.
Yeah, and it looked worse than that. And for another, LaMarcus Aldridge, as he's known to do against a lot of teams, did whatever he wanted.
8-for-8 at one time?
Yeah. Ended up 9-for-10.
And some of those shots were guarded, I thought. And I think Coach Self thought they were guarded as well today after the press conference. He said, we didn't really play bad defense. He's just maybe the number one pick in the NBA draft.
I think he probably is the number one pick. I didn't think they played great defense on him, though, because part of defense is keeping a guy off the boards, and they didn't do that. And P.J. Tucker, I thought Rush did a good job of guarding P.J. Tucker in the first half. Then in the second half, he just went off, not only against Rush, but other guys who guarded him when they went to his zone for a little bit. He just was relentless. He hammered the offensive boards. Buckman was really good, hammered the offensive boards. It was like Oklahoma, the way Oklahoma looked bigger, thicker, and older. Texas looked bigger, thicker, older, and better.
I'll tell you where I think the big difference was in the first half when they were actually still in the game, was when what Abrams did. Had he not hit those threes, they might have been able to stay a little closer. Self obviously didn't like the way they played defense down that final stretch of the first half. Then it seemed like they're about to make a couple runs, run early in the second half, and Gibson hit a couple big threes, too, that really just seemed to – that was the difference.
Yeah, he's good. He's really good.
On top of that, I think KU fans had to be a little surprised how well KU played off the bat. They're up 4-0.
Out of the gate, first 10 minutes was perfect.
Yeah, and then the first 10 minutes, they've still got the lead, and they missed some chip shots here and there, too. And then you always hear that, you got to survive those first few minutes on the road. Well, they did that, and then they got blown out anyway.
Yeah.
So, as you said, Tom, it's fine. It's juniors and seniors against freshmen and sophomores, and it looked like it, and the final result looked like it, too. It just, I don't know that they quit, but it's like you guys said, every time they tried to make a run or they'd get a little momentum going, somebody knocked down a big three, and
or KU would turn it over.
Run, or turnover, yeah.
I mean, for the first time all year, really, they looked like a road team.
Or give up 5 rebounds on the same possession.
Oh,
on the offensive glass. That was the most. That was the most painful part, just watching Texas. No matter how well KU would shot the ball, Texas, with 36-19 rebound advantage, you're going to win because you're getting a lot of shots.
Well, the difference, what you were saying, is four or five playmakers to really one for Kansas. Julian Wright, who today was the Big 12 Rookie of the Week. Tucker took, I think, his fifth time he's won the award. But, I mean, you can't have five guys going all out and kind of verse one.
And the amazing stat of the game is
Julian Wright, zero rebounds.
Unbelievable. How can a guy be so involved offensively and be 6'9 and that active? He obviously was being very active and couldn't get a board. And that just goes to what you said a minute ago, Tom, about when you looked at the Texas players, they just looked bigger, they were stronger, and quite frankly, you look at Julian, and he looked like a kid out there on the court.
And Tom, do you remember back to the Oklahoma game, Julian Wright had 8 boards, and that's when we talked about him finally being tough. We were like, wow, this guy didn't necessarily do it with points or assists. He did it on the rebounding, and he doesn't have the big size. And now he adds the points. Also, another stat for you here, the last 2 games, 0 assists in 2 games now for Julian. His biggest point outputs hasn't had an assist in either of those
but
two.
He's shooting, not passing.
Right,
and there were still a couple of times where he passed and should have shot because he passed to the guy in the burnt orange jersey.
Right.
Well, each team has 2 games left. With the way Texas played that game, really no reason to think that they're going to drop either of these 2 games. But stranger things have happened. What do you think about their chances against A&M and OU?
Well, Texas A&M is going to be so fired up. They'll be fired up beyond belief. But I still think you got to go with Texas in that. And then they play OU as well.
Texas is pretty much trying to play themselves into a 1 seed.
Yeah, that's in Norman. You still like
now
Texas.
That game's in Austin.
Yeah. Is it in Austin?
Yeah, they won the first.
Already played in Norman.
I was thinking that game was. I watched that game too on TV.
Yeah.
That was in Norman.
It was the bank shot,
60-50, wasn't it?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah,
but the court, I'm pretty sure, was maroon.
Yeah,
not burnt orange.
You gotta like Texas to, win this conference title outright.
How about KU's shot at a rebound against Colorado here? Senior night, a lot of stuff going on.
They're not going to lose that game. Come on. Colorado doesn't get back on defense that well.
Colorado just doesn't play on the road, period, ever, anywhere. They're just bad on the road all the time.
They're going to smoke them.
You think? I mean, this is a Colorado team, much like A&M, where they win. They're kind of on the bubble, trying to get in, too.
I think A&M is more on the bubble than Colorado. I think Colorado has played so poorly in certain situations, and especially on the road, that if A&M, even though it's got a tough finish, can win one game and then maybe stay close with Texas and maybe even pull an upset in that thing that who knows, maybe they are in, but maybe I'm wrong here.
The only way they can get in is if they do pull an upset from Texas and then don't fall apart from there. But I think it's a 3-bid conference this year.
Right now only 3?
Yeah, I think so, definitely.
I think a 4 team sneaks in.
You do?
10-11 seed. Yeah, whoever makes the run, whoever plays well down the stretch, A&M or Colorado, probably.
Well, they're probably both going to lose on Wednesday.
Yeah, but I find it hard to believe they're going to take 4 from the Missouri Valley and only 3 from the 12.
It'll probably be 3-3.
I would say 3-3.
Well, I think the Big 12 has to get 4 somewhere. I think one of these 2 teams.
They don't look at it that way and say, though, it's the Big 12. You got to get a 4th team in there. If that 4th team doesn't have the resume, they don't get in. And this year, unless there's a huge upset, unless Colorado beats KU. Or unless A&M beats Texas, there's not going to be a 4th team with that resume.
But in past years when, the Big 12 had 7 or 8, that 7 or 8 is getting in as a 10 or 11 or 12 at times, which you're like, why is a big conference like the Big 12 getting that low of a seed? And I think historically speaking, one of those 2 teams looking at the at-large bids is going to get in there. Someone's going to make a run. I don't think Colorado wins on the road. I think Texas A&M has given people more to believe that they might be able to do something spectacular like knock off a Texas at home. And so,
well, if they do, a different A&M story. If they don't, forget it. 3 teams.
Yeah, okay.
That's what I say. We'll see who's right.
That's fine, yeah.
Provided A&M loses to Texas.
I also said
who's right.
KU wins a close one, and if they do lose, it'll be close too. I'd be surprised if it was a blowout.
I agree with you, DJ. I think 4 teams will get in. I don't know which one.
Do
unless
you
they
really?
Unless they both collapse and lose the last 2 games and then both cheese it in the first round of the Big 12 tournament, then no, they won't. But if they just play out the way they've been playing, both at 8-6,
9-7
in the conference, maybe you make it to the quarters
of
the tournament, get a win.
This isn't a good deep conference this year. It's not a good conference. This isn't – get Big 12 out of your mind and just look at the quality of the teams, and
okay,
it's not a Big 12 conference.
Forget Big 12 then, but would you rather have Colorado in or the 5th-place team in the Missouri Valley or the 4th-place team?
Well, it's not going to come down to the 5th-place team.
Well,
probably the 4th-place team in the Missouri Valley probably has a better resume, but I don't think 4 will get in.
What would the 4th-place team's record in the Missouri Valley be in the Big 12?
Well, that's what we don't know.
I mean, seriously, if they use that as a comparison in any way, shape, or form, and you're just going to go on who is the best team.
Well, I think that, it might be pretty good in the Big 12 this year. The fourth place team in the Missouri Valley might be do pretty well against this.
That'd be a Missouri State well. Or a Northern Iowa.
Is that going to be
defined
fourth?
Pretty well?
Defined pretty
10
well.
10-6 maybe.
Really? 10-6
Well,
no. Yeah.
The
fourth.
Why
you
not?
You think Missouri State is better than Colorado and Texas A&M right now?
Yeah, I do. I actually do. Let's.
Hold on. Let the Missouri Valley expert get in here.
Computer rankings aren't the greatest thing in the world, but I would imagine they are much better in the computer rankings than either one of those teams.
But you think Colorado is bad on the road? Imagine Missouri State or Northern Iowa going on the road consistently in the Big 12. I don't think so.
Look at Baylor, bad team. Missouri, horrible team. Iowa State plays like a horrible team. They don't play team
ball at
all.
You're not going to win at Hilton, though.
As our perennial Missouri Valley expert, I'm going to have to take back what I said a minute ago. I don't think four teams will get in. I think the Big 12 would get four in, and the Valley only gets three. And
You think the Big 12 will get four?
Yeah, I do think
Wow.
And I don't
think. This is amazing. I'm outvoted here 3-1. You guys all think the Big 12 is going to get four teams in because you think they are, quote, the Big 12. Well, they're not the Big 12. They're the Big 3 this year, and that's all there is to it.
I don't think it's because of the Big 12. I think it's because Colorado and Texas A&M any day are better than whatever the fourth-place team in any of these small conferences is, and that's why you put that team in.
I'm not saying
it did. You know, it's not going to come down to that. I think the Missouri Valley will get three teams.
I agree with that.
Okay, so it doesn't really come down to that. Could come down to the seventh team in the Big 10 or the Big East. Something like that. I mean, the ACC is going to find they're not going to get a ton of bids this year either.
Well, and Keegan's point, though, if you do look at some of the perennial teams like Maryland and Indiana who aren't going to get the looks, why would a team like Colorado who played no one in their non-conference schedule? So, I mean, I can see your viewpoint.
A&M, look at who they played in their non-conference schedule. Nobody.
Well, I guess we'll all be.
We'll find out soon enough.
Four teams.
Well, enough about.
Well, I'm outvoted 3-1 here on whether it's 3 or 4. I say 3. Well, let's
write that down.
I'm going to go 4, but I also think only 3 from the Valley because, and I don't even know if Northern Iowa gets in. They've really slipped up lately.
Nah, they won't get in. They got blown out against Bradley. They lost a close one against Southern Illinois. They probably won't get in.
I agree.
Unless they win that conference tournament.
Which they very well could do that. But enough about the Valley and A&M and Colorado. Let's talk about what that loss. We can talk about seeding still. Let's just talk about where KU maybe slides out. Do they go to a fourth, a fifth? Do they still have a chance to play in Dallas, or do you think that's died?
I don't know. I don't know about the chance to play in Dallas. I don't know how that all works and whether they'll, you know, reward a.
Come on, you know everything else, Keegan. Why don't you know that?
I just don't know. I mean,
three teams will be in the
Big 12. Yeah, that I can tell you. That's something more concrete. But as far as how badly this loss hurts their seeding, I don't think it should kill their seeding. As long as they take care of business from here on out, which is winning their final two regular season games. And a key one for them, I think, would be winning that semifinal, likely against Oklahoma, to get to that Texas game. Because then you've gotten yourself back on your feet. You have a winning streak of four games. You have a streak of 14 wins in 15 games going into the Big 12 title game.
And I think
that's huge. Then you're looking at a 4 or a 5.
And I think you validate the win over Oklahoma, which I think is important because I think KU and Oklahoma are going to kind of fall in the same area, and that will determine maybe who gets to go to that close pod and then decides who gets shipped out to no man's land. And if Oklahoma rocks KU in the rematch in the semifinals and pack the bags, boys. You're heading somewhere a long way from home.
Salt
and Oklahoma and Texas are going to be down in Dallas playing a lot closer. Maybe, depending, because I guess Memphis is probably its closest place, maybe Dallas right now as well. Yeah. I think there's a chance Memphis will end up in Dallas, and those two top seeds down there will be Texas
and
then Memphis. And, of course, it doesn't mean they're going to be in the same region at all, but at least in the pod system, those two teams will start there and not play each other.
And, Andy, to your point of what does this loss against Texas do, I don't think it hurts KU from where they were at. What it doesn't do is move them up into like a 3-2 range or give them any shot at that. So I think it's like you guys said, if they take care of business, they're the 4-5 range. But I don't think they'd slip much more than that. If they lose a stupid one here or drop it in the semis, they're probably still in that 4-5 range because they're probably going to take care of business against Colorado.
If they lose a stupid one, I don't know, and lose in the semifinals, then you're
dropping to a 6, though, really?
You
just voted again this week, and you
14.
Were talking about – yeah, exactly. You put KU 14 because
Explain
you said what?
That.
You said what?
Explain
everybody
that?
Else around there lost, right?
Right, because everyone else around that range, that 12 to 20 range, lost.
What?
None of them lost to a team as good as
Texas. Who are some of those
Texas.
Teams? I didn't see, really.
You know, Illinois, although they were 8, you know – come on, who? Michigan State lost twice.
Yeah, you got to drop them.
Yeah, you know, who else lost? NC State lost big. Boston College lost. Those
well,
types
let me let me say one. This though: if the Big 12 is only worthy of three teams and the conference is way down, why reward Kansas for winning all those games and getting blown out by the one real team?
Because they're not only winning those games, they're blowing them out.
But those teams
look
are
at
terrible.
How they're doing.
So margin of victory
they're
matters.
They're not.
So margin of victory matters.
It does to me.
Well,
it absolutely
KU lost
matters.
By 25 points to a right. really good team and goes up in the standings.
First time all year that no, not goes up in my book. Because I had them 13 last week.
Okay, so you dropped them down. Okay,
yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I dropped them down a notch.
Florida was another team that lost there. Alabama.
Florida lost. Yeah, most of those teams lost. Tennessee lost. I mean, almost everybody
lost.
I
apologize. I didn't realize you had them up at 13.
Yeah, no, I dropped them, but just one. I would have thought I would have dropped them three or four, but then you look at everybody else losing, and some of them to bad teams only bumped them one.
And today they didn't fall very far in the standings. They dropped to 18th in the AP and 22 in the coaches.
Reason.
Yeah, four spots in the coaches.
That's about right. I think that's really where they kind of belong anyway.
Yeah.
Where, 18?
Yeah, somewhere 18 to 22, somewhere in that range. But I look at some of those other teams. And
yeah, I mean.
So that's that 4-5 range.
Yeah, which is about
which
right.
Which makes sense.
Now, was that game just Texas was that good, or do you think that just Kansas looked lost, or they hadn't had a game like that, or they just weren't ready for that kind of atmosphere?
Well, you take away, like we talked about Abrams, you take away, even if he goes 2-for-4, KU's only down 3 at the break, and I think that's a whole different game because he knocks down all those threes before the break. And then if Jeff Hawkins, who is Abrams on the other side, does something, doesn't go, well, he was 0-for-4 at one point, I know. Maybe
he's 0-for-3. Hawkins was
0-for-3 all
night. 3 officially. Okay. Yeah.
And what was Self saying in today's press conference that had Tucker didn't get called, he had a blatant palming call that,
No, he wasn't saying that in any press conference.
Okay.
That wasn't Self. We were talking about that among ourselves in the dinner room before Self came in.
But, I mean, that would have been a different game, too. I think that was a 10-point game there instead of 14 that they hit the three.
If they had played better defense in the first half, and it's tight like you say, hey, it's a different game in the second half. But they were not going to win that game. You play them down in Dallas in the Big 12 title game, they're not going to lose by 25 points, period.
Agreed.
And they may win. I don't think they would win, but I bet it'll be a game. Because it felt like, for the opening minutes, that it was going to be a game. It really did.
Out of the gate, 4-0, and then KU takes the lead. I think it was a 3-pointer for maybe Mario. They took that 1-point lead in the middle, and you thought, they did it. They got through the opening 10 minutes. The Texas crowd's going to calm down, and this is really going to turn out to be a great game.
Is a great team.
And then 458 offensive rebounds later, yeah. Texas had a 9,000-point lead, and there was no turning back in this thing.
And one skyhook,
which they had, I was so upset with ESPN. It was so ridiculous. They had so many things pre-set up, and Dick Vitale, when it happened, made it sound like he just thought of it. Oh, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, whatever. And they show a highlight of him that they obviously had queued up and ready to go so that when Aldridge did that finally in the game, if he did, they could just hit the button right away, and they did. I guess they did their homework, but they made it sound like he just thought of it. And it got the impression like, oh, look, just like Kareem. Oh, and there's Kareem doing the same. maybe if I was a Texas fan, I'd have been eating it up. Maybe I'd have loved it. But that didn't happen.
Aldridge is awesome, though.
Oh, man.
Is he the first pick? Is he the player of the year in the Big 12?
Is
he the player of the year on his own team?
That's probably P.J. Tucker is the player of the year in the Big 12 and on his own team. But in terms of if you're an NBA team shopping for talent, who do you take ahead of him? Yeah, I don't take Rudy Gay ahead of him. I don't even take Adam Morrison because
other than that.
The health concerns with the diabetes would be a concern, I think, about his longevity.
Now, Aldridge has the game of a Tim Duncan, perhaps, and you can't pass on a player like that.
You can't. Absolutely.
Well, how about players who do not have that kind of game but have really been the heart and soul of the squad for 4 years? Senior night on Wednesday night. This squad, this class isn't going to get the kind of recognition of last year's, but Self was talking in the press conference that this class actually does, has probably reached their ability as much as anyone.
Well, nobody expected these guys to ever really play or contribute, you know? I mean, Jeff Hawkins was just, he's a Kansas City kid that Roy brought in because Roy liked to do that. He liked to have a local kid kind of in the mix. And then Steven obviously was just a walk-on. Coach Williams gave him a preferred walk-on status. And Steven had the opportunity to play in several places at smaller schools, but just wanted to be a part of the big-time atmosphere and be a part of something bigger and really experience an NCAA tournament or two. And then, you know, Christian Moody, he just kind of shows up and becomes a pretty good player and actually plays a lot of minutes on a number one ranked team in the nation as a starter on that team last year. 4 years ago, you look at those guys, you think they're never going to play, and certainly they're not going to go down as some of the greatest players in history, but these guys, for the most part, they put in the minutes on this team to keep it together until we've seen what we've seen now.
Now, I didn't get a chance to see Mulai play. Was he a pretty good player?
Yeah, don't forget Mulai and Jan.
Am I forgetting Mulai?
You forgot Mulai.
He was actually a much better dancer than a player, but
he played some wicked defense. Let me tell you that.
He
comes
did,
from
yeah.
a soccer
wicked
goalie
wicked bad?
Background.
There's one thing I can say about Mulai.
Wicked good.
It's wicked good defense?
No, he's tall. That's the one thing I can say about Mulai. And tall guys get chances in college.
And he's personable.
And great he guy. Personable. He's a good kid.
And on pure dance ability alone, ain't no one better.
So he
late
was that
night.
Bad.
He peaked. He peaked at late night. I think every year when he danced.
So he was that bad, huh?
He wouldn't have played a lot. No,
he's still
especially
signing
when you consider
the kids. Though.
Yeah,
bless
the kids love
heart.
Him though, and Mulai's a good guy to have around the program. And
all right, I wasn't here last year for senior night. I heard the speeches are still going.
They are. Yeah. They're not done yet. I think
Wayne Simeon somewhere.
I saw Keith actually with a microphone walking around today thanking people. He did. Thanking kids in Tibet and some fans of his back in the Lone Star State. Just walking around with the microphone in hand, talking.
So
everybody
said
left.
There will be a player, or there will be a time limit on the players this
That's
year.
What he said. Oh, he said last year it didn't matter if there was a time limit. Those guys were going to talk and I guess they earned it, but, God, they just get so ridiculous. These guys, and we talked to them today, and I don't know if any of them are going to have anything prepared. But, if you're listening, prepare something. Because if you don't prepare anything, you just stand up there, and you have about 2 minutes worth of meaningful thank yous and people you want to thank, and then the 15 minutes after that is meaningless. I mean, just
well, they just stare at the stands, and they see who came to thank them on senior night, and they got to thank everybody who came. And then wait, I got a funny story about Coach, because one time we were out at and nobody was there, so it's not funny to anybody else, but the team laughs. And so
and the
they
fans
should do,
applaud.
Yeah, and the fans applaud, and Andy really likes it. He gets really excited.
However, you can on Channel 6 on the replay in its entirety. The only place you can see the speeches on television will be on the replay Wednesday night, and it will be late. I apologize for that, but it's a Wednesday game, and it happens. And so, 10:30, 11:30, 12, be around 12:15, 12:30 probably Wednesday night when those speeches start.
So all you young lifers, go ahead and skip school. You've been good this year. Take a day off the next day and watch that.
So it's good recommended viewing for insomniacs.
It could be.
Will you be doing play-by-play of the senior
speeches? I don't know.
Speeches?
Greg and I may grade them, though, while they're doing it. I think we have been known to do that.
And the great Gary Bedour, I mean, he doesn't, get them. You know, word for word.
I think Ryan Wood's going to be our speech guy this year. Do you get up and leave? Do a lot of the fans get up and leave in the middle
no,
of the speech?
They
or
won't.
Is that considered rude?
They actually, usually most of the people stick it out. There'll be a few that'll look at their watches and get into that, you know, point where they're like, all right, enough is enough. But they go on.
Maybe when Mulai gives his.
They go on and on and on and on. Yeah, well, it'll be interesting to see.
So here's did the, you know that you were going to be the guy covering the speeches, Wood?
Ryan Wood. Yeah, I knew. And I actually covered him last year, too, and Wayne Simeon got up on the mic and said, guys, get comfortable. I'm going to be a long time because I've been waiting my whole life for this, and I just let out a big sigh, a big groan.
I bet you weren't the only media member to do that either.
No, not at all. And that I think that was an 8 o'clock game last year, if I remember
it
right.
It might have been. Now, my question, though, is this. Are we just bitter being media guys that have covered this 1,000 times? Do the fans love this?
I think the fans do because it is, you know, they've watched these guys for 4 years, and they want to hear what they had to say. Us, we always obviously have a different perspective because we're on deadline, a lot of us. And
well, last year there were some good speakers. You know, Mike Lee was a great speaker. Miles and Langford, you know, did a good job with communication and public speaking. Wayne Simeon obviously was great at getting his point across, speaking his mind. But some years there's some guys that just really struggle through it, and that's kind of just painful to listen to. Not to mention that, you know, everything they say is pretty meaningless in the long run.
Man.
Wow. So, on saying that, we go through all these speeches. Is there anything to any of you guys that stands out from these speeches? I mean, they all, to me, they sound the same. I can't remember anything that anybody specifically said.
I remember Jeff Graves making a fool out of himself. I don't know if you guys remember that.
So,
that
the parts you remember,
impersonating somebody, and it just didn't really go well.
So, what you remember is guys making fools of themselves because they weren't prepared.
No, I think maybe so. Nick Collison had a pretty good one with his grandparents. And then, you know, and Heinrich, actually, I think Heinrich was pretty emotional. You didn't see a whole lot out of him. So I think that, you know, it does matter to him.
I think Todd Kappelman even turned to Drew Gooden and said, I want to be in charge of all your money someday. That's right before Drew Gooden went pro.
I think Brian Nash called out his dad for wearing a Carolina blue hat, if I recall.
Well, then you guys do better than me for remembering stuff. You're because they've all run together.
Andy, Sam, you'd be happy to hear, being a big B. Nash fan. I asked Steven Vincent today, who's the best leaper of anyone you played with at KU? And he said, B. Nash.
Oh, I watched that guy miss more dunks, but man, he could get up.
He could. If anybody could leap too much, it was B. Nash.
On senior night, I think it was, versus Nebraska. He might have had his whole legs over the backboard. He missed it.
Little known fact, you know why Brian Nash was a great leaper, but he was scared of heights.
That's true.
That was his problem.
That's why he
could. That was his problem.
And
that's
really
why I couldn't dunk.
This night's going to be pretty special for another reason, too, obviously, you know, the ceremony for Max. So that's going to be, it could be pretty emotional in the Fieldhouse on Wednesday night. You think that the
JR will introduce Max Falkenstein, you think? Because for 50 years now, he's been introducing everyone else. Will Chamberlain, all the seniors. Now someone's got to introduce him. Is it going to be you, Tom Keegan?
I would imagine it would be Bob Davis.
Yeah, Bobby D.
At halftime.
I thought it was going to be Tom Keegan.
That's going to be pretty interesting to see how that all goes down,
but,
too.
Funny little side note here, Max will be on a timer. He'll have to wrap it up because it's at halftime. He just can't keep going. He's going to have to get in and out and get his business done and prepare.
He's Max. They might let him go a couple minutes over, right? Just delay the game.
Conference he won't, though. He would be too brief rather than too
TV
long.
TV conference in Colorado. Ricardo Patton would throw a fit after the game. That guy just likes getting fired up on anything. He'd be mad. Oh,
Max
Falkenstein
is a great man.
Oh,
I think we all agree with that.
Well, as much as we've made fun of the senior speeches here and everything, it's going to be a pretty fun night for KU basketball
fans.
If they win. All right, good point. As far as the speeches go, you've got Max at halftime. You've got a KU victory if all things hold. And then you've got three seniors that haven't done a ton on the court but are three pretty special guys. And Tom got called out by the Spodbackers for saying that, you know, the fans laugh at walk-ons because KU fans obviously love their walk-ons. They hollered back at you. And these three guys, more than anything, epitomize what KU basketball should be. And that's hard workers. They care about the tradition of the game. I mean, Romer and I were talking to Vincent today, and he was still talking, and he was heated up about a Lawrence High Free State game from back during high school and that he wanted to win that game, and he was upset about this and that. And I mean, that just shows you how intense this guy is, and he really cares about, you know, the tradition all the way back to high school. I think that's just awesome that he does that.
And if you see him at the rec center, yes, do not take him on.
No.
Because he is ready to score. For 4 years, he has not been pulling the trigger because he's been on the bench. And he said today he's going to get it out of his system by going to the rec. And he says, I'm scoring 15 out of every 16, and I want the ball, and I'm scoring.
Because he doesn't get any respect even at the rec, right?
He said the guys all think they can take him on. They think just because he's at the end of the bench, he can't play. He said, it's ridiculous. Guys call me out. He's like, actually, you got to be kind of careful up there.
Well, see what I mean?
Want to take it
on. People underestimate walk-ons, and they do tend to, when they clap for him, many of the people doing that are doing it in a patronizing way, like, ah, ha, ha, look at the walk-ons.
Yeah.
No. Matt Kleiman, for instance, is a very good player.
Yeah, he is. This is a walk-on at Kansas. We're not talking about a walk-on at Baker or some small school.
When I went to the rec center when I was a student at KU, I played a lot of pickup games against Terry Nooner.
Noonball lit you up.
I actually played against Vincent early when he was still at LHS, and he could play back then. I mean, I'm not going to lie. All these guys.
B-Nash at the rec was good.
Did KU fans love Nooner?
Oh, yeah.
Noonball.
They loved Nooner.
They love the Nooner.
I think KU fans love everybody, but who? Chenoweth, maybe?
Yeah. Nooner would go to pickup games, and he would pretty much mock whoever was defending him by shooting like 29-foot three-pointers, nothing but net. He could hit a rafter and come down nothing but net. He put so much arc on it. Incredible rec ball player.
That reminds me of the Brooklyn playground legend, Tick, Tick, Boom.
Oh, yeah. I've heard about this guy.
When
listen
he
to
would
this
go
spot
up
backer.
For his shot, he would go, when the guys guarded him, he'd go up for a shot, tick, tick, and when he saw it going in, he'd go, boom.
Did he call it before, or was it when it hit the net?
Good.
In his mind, he was always going to make it, so he called before.
Wow.
Boom.
Wow.
Shoot it.
He hit. Yeah. So
that's pretty creative.
Reminds me of another basketball legend, Prince.
Yeah.
He is.
That dog, that cat can ball.
According to Charlie Murphy.
Now we have pancakes. Yeah. We start doing impressions, the people are going to get upset. Moving along, Andy.
Keep it going.
Well, I mean, we're all kind of joking around, but in all seriousness, could Colorado win this game? And are we looking past this? Could K-State win the game on Saturday?
A lot of people are nervous about that K-State game.
I would
game
think that that's a
Saturday
game. K-State has lost a lot of close games. They lost another one to Oklahoma. With 10 seconds left, they didn't get a good shot off.
Close one to
Texas.
Keyword,
lost.
Close one to Texas.
Yeah, but all those losses, I mean, you come in, your coach is going to get fired. You're fired up. It's going to be senior day there.
I like KU big in both these games.
I'm not sure. I don't think so at all.
I've noticed you guys haven't asked for my opinions anymore on scores.
Well, you got
you
outed,
close
my friend.
Game to Mizzou. I said 35. I said, you said 9. I was closer.
I said 9 points. But, hey, it was heading that way for the first, you know, what, 3 minutes or so. Yeah. It was a 9-point game about. So I'm going to say KU by 10. The Big 12 gets 3 teams in. The Big East gets about 13 teams in. That's my prediction.
No, that's their tournament. You get the big dance or their own dance? Which one is it?
Can someone get in? Not get into the Big East tournament, but get into the NCAA tournament?
Louisville might. Yeah. Might be Louisville.
We'll talk about a great tale question. Of two conferences. Oh, to steal question. A cliche.
Who'd you steal that from?
Yeah. Every sports writer in the last
Woodis.
50 years.
Nostradamus.
It was a tale of two halves.
So you're predicting a big one, huh, Keegan? Versus Colorado, no chance of it being close at all?
Well, there's always a chance when you have two teams on a court, but I would think they're going to blow them out.
I think KU wins the next two games, and I think it starts with a big win against Colorado. Colorado's never been very good here, and they're just terrible on the road. And KU, for the first time in a long time, has a reason to go out and really kind of refocus and start doing things, and a good time to come back home, get the home crowd behind you after the game against Texas.
I wish David Harrison still played for Colorado. That guy was fun to root against. That's what I wish.
He made himself fun to root against.
Oh, he still goes to the games.
Does he?
He was at the game this year.
Was he?
I believe so, yeah.
Just that fired the KU fans.
You can't go to many guys in the NBA.
He's balling.
David Harrison's in the NBA. He can't go to many games. It had to have been just a lucky weekend where
maybe
was he playing for? Indiana?
Maybe it's DJ.
It's Indiana, isn't it?
Yeah.
Was DJ Harrison there?
We were thinking DJ.
Yeah. He's the brother.
Right. Yes.
Yeah, the brother who caused trouble
he's
while
the one
watching
that got it all
a game.
Started.
He was there.
Okay. He's the one that started all this mess back.
But don't fans hate David more?
And he still has great seats there. They just in case he needs to come on the court.
Just in case.
Yeah.
He needs to throw something out there.
All that being said, if DJ or David is there, the KU fans will be crazy.
And they'll boo him immediately when they walk into the arena.
They will. If the Harrisons are there,
yeah, that makes
for any reason,
score.
KU by 25. Minus the Harrisons, KU by 11.
KU by 11 in both games this week.
Wow.
You heard it.
Harrison Ryan or not Harrison?
On the record.
90 to 71.
On the record with Ryan Wood.
And the K-State game, KU wins by double digits, too.
So all you young bettors out there take the under after Wood's. I'm going to say they win big versus Colorado, but I think that K-State game is going to be a lot closer than a lot of people think. I think they're going to win that one. I think KU will win it, but I think it's going to come down to the final minutes.
Is DJ Harrison and DJ Wetter related?
Usually last names are what make you related, yeah.
That's a good question, though.
DJ Harrison and myself, DJ Wetter, we are not, in fact, related.
Well, since we really can't predict, let's see if any of our spot backers out there can predict.
Let's do it. The spot back of the week.
Yeah, I think DJ was the one who's going to read this. Hold on just a minute.
Let me find it.
We'll talk about it.
We had to go to the archives for this one, right?
We did, you know, because a lot of the spot backs came pre-Texas, we noticed that nobody wanted to post after Texas.
It's funny how that works, isn't it?
Yeah, there's a lot of smack talking before.
I'm surprised they didn't have any UT guys posted on there saying, that Keegan guy, he's real smart. He's picking Kansas to win down in Austin. Great call, Keegan.
I guess we don't have many UT spot backers.
No, apparently not. Although, whenever I – what were we doing? Where I put in the paper – I predicted KU would beat UT in football. That was a fantastic prediction, by the way, as you guys recall. And I got this postcard from a UT alumnus living in Kansas City that saw it in the paper, and he sent me a postcard that said Longhorns in Kansas, and it was a postcard that people would buy at the bookshop or whatever, and just had a bunch of Longhorn steers on the front and had the state of Kansas or whatever, and on the back all he wrote was, great prediction, a UT class of 81 or whatever, and it was all in good fun.
You know what the worst part about that prediction was, though? I called you at halftime, and you stuck to your guns. You said you still
There's
think
still
they're
time.
Gonna win.
We're only halfway home, baby, and we got John Cornish.
Romer and I were just going by the spread. Yeah, John Cornish had a big touchdown.
I just wanted a 55-21 game.
Why was that?
Rumors. Keep going. Rumors. Read on. All right. Spot backing.
All right. The spot back of the week comes from Jared Grillett of Monroe, Michigan. I used to live in Monroe, Michigan, by
the way.
Sweet
that's really? Too,
yeah. Monroe, Shocks and Struts are there. My dad used to work there. That's funny. That's a whole other story. Anyway, Jared, what's going on?
Please tell it.
All right. Spot back of the week. This is prior to the Texas game. Kick and stop laughing at me. Okay. Now that the Texas K-State game is over, anybody notice something? Texas, as it did in Stillwater, didn't seem to be able to get a grip on facing an intense defense. Not to mention their defense looked, well, slow. They were standing around with all those big bodies in the center, and little tiny K-State was feeding inside for most of their points. The ESPN announcers kept pointing out, if K-State was a better perimeter shooting team, and I just kept thinking, hey, I know a team that plays really intense defense, likes to feed it inside to score points, and shoots pretty darn good from the perimeter.
Apparently, a Tom Keegan fan. Oh,
Jared. Jared, it looks so good. It looks so good before the Texas game, and then...
Totally falls apart.
Throw a spot backer under the bus.
Yeah. Well, it's easy to do.
We've all said dumb things. I said Kansas by 9 over Missouri.
I picked KU to win in football.
And we're basketball. I picked both of them. No,
we've all made some bonehead
predictions. We just wanted Jared to join in the misery of Tom Keegan and DJ Wetter is really what we wanted. So, Jared, thank you for your post. We were just joking.
Maybe it's Jared from Subway, and we threw him under the bus because he can fit under the bus now.
Wow.
Whoa. Well, Ryan Wood, you're talking about football. Any interesting tales today on the combine day still going
on? I turned on the NFL Network this morning, as some other KU fans I'm sure did.
Does that combine ever end on that channel?
No.
It's on for like 58 straight hours.
It's 3 hours today, and I T-boned it all.
Unbelievable.
And I can only watch the first hour of it, and they're doing defensive linemen 40 times. Very intriguing to me, because Charlton Keith is obviously going to be one of the faster ones,
sure,
because he's, you know, like a buck 20 compared to all the rest of D linemen. They go to commercial before both of Keith's runs. We didn't see it. He ran a 4.78, is what NFL.com's reporting, which was, I think, the fourth or fifth best time out of about 25 D linemen in his group. But, you know, I guess he had a pretty good day as far as that goes, and he's still labeled one of the most intriguing tweeners of the draft.
He didn't have any trouble in that Wunderlich?
Oh, I don't know about that. That's not released.
You guys saw that rumor, didn't you, about Vince Young?
Romer and I took the Wunderlich
test. Yeah. How'd you do? I'm guessing Romer did better.
No, he did. That's rude.
DJ. They were all actually, none of the questions on there were.
No, they're not.
I think.
You got to read the whole question.
I mean, they had the 15 questions on there, and DJ and I took. DJ got all 15, and I missed one because I misread the question. I had all the numbers right. I just had the wrong number written down as an answer.
Is it more an intelligence test or a sanity test?
Well, if it's the latter, I'm not going to be very good on it.
I don't know. I don't know how to describe it. I mean,
it's a concentration test, is what it is.
It's similar to an IQ test.
Yeah, you concentrate and read through it and understand what? It's not hard if you read through it, and that's
the question. Romery missed was, what is the ninth month of the year?
It is. Yeah, since my birthday's in the 10th month, it threw me off quite a bit.
But what month
and
is that
was one of the questions. And that's not a joke.
Yeah, well, that was one of the questions on there. Yeah, that actually isn't the one that I missed, but
September.
Good call. Keegan's one for one. He scored at least a one on the Wunderlich.
There was one that had five shapes, and one of them is an octagon. All the other ones, various squares. It said which one does not belong in this group.
You got that one right.
Yeah. Wow. I got that one right.
You know,
too.
Back to Charlton Keith, though. Intriguing tweener. Good way to put it, because he's not big enough, they say, to be a defensive end. And can he drop back in pass coverage as a linebacker? Well, how about this wild idea? What about Charlton Keith as a tight end? He's got good hands.
Great hands.
Obviously, great athlete. Ask Houston.
Yeah, exactly.
Score a touchdown.
That's where I first thought of it. I said, this guy's a tight end. But he could be an outside linebacker who attacks a quarterback.
Do you think most sports writers are tweeners then? Not pretty enough to be on TV? Don't have the voice for radio?
For yourself.
Just throwing that out there.
Charlton Keith comes back from being sick, Keegan. He's throwing you under the bus now with Jared and whoever else.
Have you told your stories of being sick?
No, I haven't said much.
This guy didn't leave the bedroom for a whole week.
I was hurting pretty bad.
So what's different about that week than any other week?
That's true.
What was the diagnosis? Anyway,
I had a bronchitis, pretty bad.
Ebola virus?
I was bleeding. You know, I heard you guys say I was in a tub of ice, but was I getting my kidneys cut out?
By me.
Actually, I had to do a, you know, I had to do an X-ray because I thought I had pneumonia, which I was like,
really?
Too tough for that. But he actually, he found a broken off shiv in between my second and third rib. And I was like,
broken
man.
Broken off what?
Shiv.
Oh, okay.
I was like, man, that must have been from my juvie days in the top. You know, that takes me to my life lesson this week. I don't like to do it very often.
For all you kids out there.
Lifers, young lifers.
Can I throw in one more thing about Charlton Keith?
No, we're talking about Sam and Deliver.
Some meaningful conversation.
I'm not feeling the tight end talk like Tom Keegan is. I'm just not. The thing is, he weighs in at 235 pounds. A tight end has got to be a lot more than that. And if he's going to gain a lot of weight, he might as well stay at defensive end.
I think he's
tight end doesn't have to be a lot more than that.
I think he's a linebacker.
He's a hitter. I think Charlton Keith's a hitter, and I think
he'd rather hit than be hit.
Oh yeah, absolutely. He's a guy that comes and gets you and hits you hard. And you know, there's like I'm trying to think of some other Christian Ballard, for instance, going to go to KU. Now we've seen him play football. He is a tight end. He does not like to go hit people. Charlton Keith's the opposite. He likes to smack you.
Charlton Keith even said once that he could have gotten a lot of college attention as a quarterback, but he didn't like playing offense because he didn't like getting hit. Tight end, he's going to get drilled a couple times there. So I just don't know.
He's tough enough. He could be the first two-way player in a long time is what I'm saying.
Four teams get in from the Big 12, and Charlton Keith will not be a tight end.
Those are open. The lesson of the day would
but
be.
But speaking of toughness, that
Let's
takes
go
me
back
to my
Sam's bronchitis.
To my lesson of the day. You know, even me, I'm pretty tough. I like to think I'm tough.
We need music for this, by the way.
Sometimes you can't be too tough. You know, you need to go to the doctor and make sure that everything's all right because they can really help you out there. So.
Really?
Softer side of Sam.
Yeah. Well,
softer
side of Sam.
That's not just for the kids either.
That's just a life lesson for all.
You know, because I could have helped myself out a day sooner or two. I mean, had I waited another day or two, I might have had pneumonia.
You might have.
Is that a tear I see?
I might have just died on the bed. Instead, I'm back, you know, and I miss the historic 25th episode. I bet you guys, none of you in this room knew.
Wow.
That was the 25th episode.
Nobody thought it'd last five.
I don't count the first 10. They were that bad.
That was the 25th. This is the 25th?
No, the one I missed.
So this is the 26th.
The one without you?
Yeah.
That's unbelievable. And they said it wouldn't last.
We didn't get any gifts.
And surprisingly, we are all rich from doing this.
Yes,
we are all millionaires. So there's only going to be about 50 of these things, and then we're out.
And well, you missed. I'm a millionaire from taking.
How do you work for a ConAgra plant in Nebraska? We would be rich.
Sam, and
his
you
kidneys were squat.
Did you
man.
Know management took us out to dinner for the 25th episode too? Sam, man, you missed that
one time deal.
I got quite a bonus on my check. I don't know about you, Sam, man.
Well, I guess we're gonna do our predictions, or we already made them.
He lost the sick bonus too last week.
That's true. Yeah, you know, Romy, another big game that I don't want to forget is the KU women playing K-State. They got a big victory over Missouri.
Yeah, where did that come from?
Yeah.
Quickly, while we're wrapping this up, where did that come from? I mean, out of nowhere.
Right field?
An overtime game. Kansas wins at home, and Crystal Kemp, one of the seniors, has never beaten Kansas State. Gets an opportunity here. And some poster board material, I guess, or some bulletin board material already. I guess one of the K-State players had mentioned that, yeah, you know, we got another trip over there to Bramlage East. Ooh. I asked Bonnie today, I said, you got anything posted on the bulletin board? And she's like, well, you know, Kevin, I don't read that stuff, but I have gotten some emails of people that maybe did read it and then mentioned to me. She's like, kids are kids, and she downplayed it for us, but I guarantee it's stuck somewhere over there. Maybe it's not. They didn't say it was stuck anywhere, but I wouldn't be surprised if it came up.
And you know they say that they don't read it, but you know that's all a bunch of crap. Because how about the worse than Baylor chant? You tell me
Sandman. If comes off his deathbed. He's got the mic in his hand, like leaning back.
I'm just saying
beer over
that. That'd be nice too. But the worse than Baylor chant. Obviously, that's going to motivate a few KU players if they get the chance to play Texas again. Where's that come from? Worse than Baylor? Come on.
Wow. It's creative for a Texas crowd.
I thought they'd say just like football.
That'd be it. And are they going to be the first team ever to win all three championships in one season? They certainly look like it that night.
That would be unbelievable.
I mean, they're capable. They're one of five, six teams that...
And with my Wichita Nova going down the weekend.
One of five teams you say after... Although Ellen Ray having an MRI today.
But you know, they
said it's okay.
Villanova's guards.
It should be okay. It's just a sprain. Yeah. And you know who's going to be coming back for them possibly in the next week?
Really?
Curtis Sumpner is
really?
Very close to coming back. And he has said he came in with all those guys. If they have a chance to win a national title, which obviously they do, he is going to play and use his senior year. I mean, it's no point in him being a senior next year when all these guys are gone and then have a terrible team. He came in with these guys, and if they have a chance to win it, he wants to be there to contribute in any way he can.
See, I heard that's what Hawkins was going to do had they won it all last year, but... No, I'm just kidding.
What? I don't know. I'm confused. You're
sometimes I like
Texas, though. Take another pill, man. The capability to lose in the second round, too. They're one of those teams.
Well, teams that you look at the top of your head that you wouldn't be surprised winning the national title this year, you'd have to say Villanova. You'd have to say UConn.
Duke, Texas.
Memphis and Texas.
Now, Memphis, I'd be really surprised.
I wouldn't be surprised.
George Washington. Really?
I don't think Memphis. I'd be surprised with Memphis, too.
Memphis and Ohio State. And Ohio State, keep throwing teams at me.
George Washington?
Nowhere near Texas, Villanova, UConn, Duke.
You don't have Memphis anywhere near now.
If UConn comes to play like they did, they're going to be a tough team to beat.
KU fans should pray to be a four seed, have their team be a four seed in the Memphis bracket. If Memphis is a one. KU fans
should love
that. If
they're
going to
be a four, I agree with that. I think they'd rather be a five, though.
They're similar teams. Four or five, North Carolina, KU, with North Carolina being four, KU five, second round matchup.
They won't do it.
Why not?
Because they won't. Because Roy would, he would cry foul.
Who wouldn't do it? Roy has no input on this. This is a.
I think they would do it. And I also think if they're a five, they're going to match up with somebody in the Missouri Valley. So you'll see that right there. Because
always comes back to the Mo Valley.
Man. The guy's just ridiculous.
But,
take the kid out of Wichita, but you can't take the Wichita out of the kid.
They definitely put Roy in KU because that's a great storyline. That's what they're all about.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. We'll see.
Well,
we get Syracuse and Bucknell in there somewhere, too.
Well, they can't play Bucknell. Tournament of Arizona. Second round, right? Okay, well, if you're still listening this far, maybe you're willing to go a little further. And if so... That's the next podcast. We'll be back later this week, and we'll talk about did they get the job done on senior night. Thanks a lot, and I'm back, and we'll be back, and hopefully you'll come back.
For episode number 27.
That's true. See you guys next time.